on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Tuesday, September 17th, 2024 edition. And thank you all for being here during this hour. I'm host Justin Klein, and my goal is to help you become a better investor, to keep your nose down, not in the sky, right? Not focusing on the headlines that can lead you astray, the cousins and friends that might give you that one stock tip. That's not what this is about. That's not good investing. What's good investing is understanding the fundamentals of the asset class that you are looking at and see if it aligns with your risk tolerance level, current market trends, and understanding the risks and rewards that are out there and weighing them. If you're not weighing both sides of any investment, you are not doing your due diligence. And so this show hopefully is part of that due diligence to set you in the right frame of mind to make good decisions with your money consistently. And just a quick reminder that we do have the InvestTalk Wealth webinar coming up here in just a few weeks, October 8th at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can head over to investtalk.com and register. And it is going to be all about your 401k, your workplace retirement account. Maybe that's a TSP. Maybe that's a 403b. Whatever it is, we are going to help you understand how to think about it in context to the broader market trends, analyze the investment options within there, and how it relates to your particular goals. And so that's what that webinar will be all about. Now, in just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, let's tackle this first caller question now.
Hello, it's Jose from Brooklyn, New York. I would like to know your take on the company NVR, that's Nancy Victor Robert. It's a company that specializes in home building. With a high demand of new homes, I'm thinking that this might be a promising sector to invest in. Looks like a solid company with a pretty strong balance sheet. The stock is trading at a pretty high valuation. Do you feel that there's any room for further growth? I will be listening for your answer. Thank you.
Looking at NVR, and I want to address the last part because, you know, When I first heard the call, I said, oh, great, I love that he's calling about this name because it's a name that the average person won't even touch because they see a price tag of the stock of $9,485 per share. And they would think that is too expensive. Now, if you have a small account, obviously one share of this is going to be a large percentage of your portfolio. Okay, but if you have, you know, at least a couple hundred thousand dollars or more, then, you know, one share is a low enough amount of the portfolio to make it worthwhile. So obviously that price tag, it will limit kind of diversification aspects, although maybe your broker allows fractional shares. So that's something to look into as well. But ultimately, you know, he said at the end, oh, it's trading a high valuation. It's actually not, right? $9,485 per share sounds like a lot, but when it's supposed to earn $528 per share next year, that's not that bad. You're talking about a high teen multiple on earnings, right? PE multiple. And in a business that is doing fairly well. We've talked about the housing market. It's holding up. It's not going gangbusters, but it's also the margins generally are holding up around long-term averages within the industry. And this is a name that historically has high profitability. Return on equity 38.7%. The 5-year average is 42%. And outside of 08, you know, its return on equity has typically been north of 30% in most markets. So I think it's a great business, and they have not just a decent balance sheet. They have a very good balance sheet. They have net cash on their balance sheet. So their market cap is $29 billion, but their enterprise value, which will back out that cash, is about $27 billion. Okay, so you know, clean balance sheet. They're buying back shares. In fact, if you look at the recent news, there it is. They're to repurchase $750 million of common stock. This was announced back in May, and it's a $29 billion market cap. So that's roughly 3 to 4% of their overall, it's about 2.5 to 3% of their overall shares outstanding. Pretty good. Earnings supposed to go up 8% this year, 6% next year. No dividend, but as I've said before, dividends are overrated. They're returning capital to shareholders by buying back stock. So, you know, if you can buy fractional shares, you have enough money to buy into a name like this at $9,000 per share, I think it's a thumbs up for me. They're in a business that is doing well, and historically they are one of the best operators within this particular sector, the home building sector. All right. Now let's go talk and let's go take a live call and talk to John in St. Louis looking at AMPH. Do you own it or looking to buy it?
I'm looking to buy it.
Okay. And what do you like about it?
I'm in search of a healthcare sector business, and I just saw this in one of my funds that I have in my Roth IRA as one of its top holdings, and I decided to just look at it. Everything I'm seeing, it looks like it has some pretty good metrics, and as far as the earnings yield, the ROE, and Morningstar says that it's undervalued. And it looks like it was a little bit underbought on the RSI that I saw on its chart. So I was just curious what you thought about it.
All right, this is Amphastar Pharmaceuticals out of local here, Rancho Cucamonga, California. They develop and manufacture generic and proprietary injectables, inhalation devices, et cetera. Basically, products that are fairly difficult to produce. And that allows them to have less competition. Return equity is 26%. That's very good. Now, that is near an all-time high. You know, how sustainable is that? We'll see. You know, the five-year average is 13. So, you know, if there's a mean reversion here, I think that's an issue. But earnings are expected to go up 20% this year, 10% next year, to an all-time high of $4.37. And it's a $48 stock. So forward-looking multiple of about 11 times. That's pretty cheap. Let's take a look at its balance sheet here. It's a little bit of debt, nothing too crazy. I have no issue with that. No dividend, which is fine. What are they doing with shares? Are they issuing more? Are they buying back shares? I would say the last couple of years, pretty neutral, frankly. Shares outstanding have been flat. You know, the technicals would be my biggest issue. You know, this peaked out back in, July of last year. At around $65 per share. Now we're down to 48 and change. But overall, long term, it's in an uptrend. So, you know, I would give it neutral to bullish over the longer term. I like the profitability. I like the balance sheet. And I like the business. So, you know, it's still a smaller cap name, about $2.4 billion market cap. So it's going to be risky, going to be volatile. I like that management owns 27% of the business. So I'm going to give this one, you know, a thumbs up. It's not a 10 out of 10, but I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Now we're going into a short break, and on the other side, I'll talk about today's plan topics and today's market activity. But please remember, you can call right now and connect with us on our anytime listener line, which as always is 888-99-CHART.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com.
My question today is about H&E Equipment Services, Inc.
And for our podcast subscribers.
If you're willing to take the risk.
InvestTalk.
If you're okay with that risk.
With host and financial advisor Justin Klein.
And that volatility. Go for it.
And co-host and portfolio manager Luke Guerrero.
This company has fallen like a rock. It's down 52%.
InvestTalk.
Ticker symbol THC.
Everybody wants a secure financial future.
Richard, you have a question about TOL?
But getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information.
Wonder what you think of the price of it.
Go to Chris in Maine looking at IEX.
Hey, Justin, I own it. Just seeing what you thought of it.
InvestTalk is made better by listener contributions. So don't forget to call 888-99-CHART. You've got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
We have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and our main focus point concerns this topic: maximizing retirement savings, diversifying beyond your 401k and Roth IRA, and incorporating things like brokerage accounts, HSAs, and other options can in fact enhance your tax efficiency and gain more control over your withdrawals. And so this approach is about helping mitigate the future tax burden that is likely to continue to go up, right? We're in a tough debt situation, and politicians are likely to increase the tax rate over time. And so this provides extra, greater flexibility to manage your retirement strategy. So we'll look at that topic. We have others on the docket as well. One is in regards to small caps and mid caps and leadership, okay? And so what is likely to lead as we head into an easing cycle? Also, our debt situation. We are at about $28 trillion in national debt. But if Congress does nothing, the total debt outstanding will climb by another $22 trillion through 2034, over the next decade. Think about that. And guess what? Neither of the major party candidates are trying to do anything to stop it. In fact, they're tripping over themselves to go the other way. So we'll look at that and what that might mean for the economy as a whole and inflation and the equity markets and investment markets as well. Okay. And lastly, consumers are taking on more credit card debt. Now, there's multiple ways to look at that. But one way to look at it is, why are they doing it? Is it because they are stretched, or is it because other types of lending are drying up as well? So we'll look at that story. But ultimately, that's what's on my mind. But most importantly is what is on your mind. And so to that end, we will get to your voice bank questions. One is in regards to Diamondback Energy, as well as Huntington Ingalls Industries, HII. We also have some questions that came in via the comment section over on our YouTube channel as well. And of course, most importantly, your finance and investment questions and your live calls. So we encourage you to call right now at 888-99-CHART. Now let's take a look at the market today. It was a decidedly negative day, but mainly for the large caps. Value, core, and growth on the large side were all down just a bit. Small caps actually did very well, up about over 0.5% there. The NASDAQ was up 20 basis points. The S&P was roughly flat, up 1.5. The Dow was down slightly. So certainly a mixed bag as we go into Fed Day tomorrow. The odds of the Fed cutting by 50 basis points tomorrow has steadily increased throughout the week. It was 34% one week ago on September 10th. Now it's at 65%. So it's about a 2/3 to 1/3 odds that we will get a 50 basis point cut tomorrow. Who are the big losers on the day? Let's take a look here. The Trump media, DJT, that was down about 6.6%. That was probably the biggest notable loser. What else was on the upside? Teladoc, that was up about 11%. You had of the major stocks, NVIDIA was down 1%. Intel was up 2.5% as they had a deal with Amazon. That was a positive announcement. But overall, it was a very blah, neutral day as we head into tomorrow's Fed meeting. And we know there will be fireworks in one way or another after that announcement. Now, we're moving to a break. Still to come in this podcast that will tackle more of your voice bank calls and get to our main focus point. So stay with me, but give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk Wealth Webinar is happening online and free in just a few weeks. The Invest Talk Wealth Webinar will focus on effective strategies for managing your 401k and enhancing your retirement savings. Go to investtalk.com and sign up for our upcoming Wealth Webinar, October 8th.
Now, our main focus point today is about not focusing only on your 401k, your IRA, when it comes to your retirement planning. And, you know, many advisors, including ourselves, say, hey, max out your 401k if you can, your IRA contributions if you can. And that's certainly true to a large extent. But you also have to think about ways to get money into other types of accounts. Because when you have money in an IRA or a 401k, it's nice because you get to write off those contributions on your taxes this year. But those taxes do not go away. What that actually turns into is what is called a deferred tax liability. Okay? And this is an accounting term. If you ever took accounting class, there's a lot of this in the corporate world where they, once again, save on taxes, but know in the future they will have to pay taxes at some point. And the idea is that, you know, whoever that is, it'll be a different leader of a company, etc. But we're talking about your life. You are the leader of your financial life at all times, pretty much. And so you have to think about other ways to diversify your savings. Things like standard taxable brokerage accounts, Roth IRAs, HSAs. And so having different buckets to draw money from to fund your retirement can offer a lot of benefits. And the most notable one is simply tax savings. Now, one issue with having so much money in your 401k or IRAs is that you don't know what the tax rate will be in the future. Now, you can guess. And a lot of people are on low tax rates between, say, the day they retire or the year they retire and the day they have to take Social Security or take RMDs from their 401k or IRA. And that's a nice little window. And we do help clients, like our clients do Roth conversion strategies during that time. But it's one of those things where you are still guesstimating. And that is something that can kind of come back to bite you if that guesstimate is wrong or if the politicians raise the tax rate on you higher than you had been expecting. So what you're doing is you're letting the government decide your tax rate, say 40 years from now. And, you know, do you really trust that? And you have to remember, too, is that money drawn from these accounts is taxed at your ordinary income tax rate, which is generally higher than long-term capital gains that you would get by owning something in a taxable account, but holding it for longer than a year. For example, if you have, you know, a couple million dollars in savings, but 90% of that is in an IRA, now you are at the whims of the tax man. And at the whims of your RMDs, right? They're forced to take the money out. Whereas in a taxable account or in a Roth IRA, you're not forced to take that money out ever. And so when you're forced to take money out and so much is in those IRAs or 401ks, you could do things like trigger more taxes on your Social Security benefits and make those benefits worth less. You could also hit thresholds that will increase your Medicare costs as well. So the simple message is don't tax defer yourself into a higher tax bracket. And as I said at the beginning, There are a few different ways to do that. A Roth IRA is a great way to do that. Doing backdoor Roth contributions, for example, or having a solid Roth conversion strategy is a big, big benefit. We have clients who are advising them, you know, they should convert $100,000 to $200,000 per year at retirement when they're barely making anything, to stay below, you know, a 22% tax bracket and allow, lock in that low tax rate. That's what money going into a Roth 401k or a Roth IRA, whether that's a conversion or a backdoor Roth, whatever that is locking in the current tax rate. Now, if you're in a high tax bracket, you probably don't want to do a whole lot of that. But if you're in a middling to lower tax bracket, that might be something you should do. And then there's that brokerage account that I talked about. Remember, long-term capital gains are between zero if you don't make very much money and 20%. For example, maybe you retire, you're not earning any money, you're not taking Social Security yet. Maybe you retire at 63. You're going to wait till 70 to take Social Security. Now you have pretty much no income. Now you're able to sell some of your long-term positions and maybe play zero capital gains on that, right? So there's ways to think about that as well. And then your heirs, they get the stepped up basis on that. Meaning you could defer all of that and that you never pay capital gains on that because you pass away and now your heirs get that at that higher stepped up basis. And that's underappreciated as well if you want to leave a substantial amount to your heirs. Okay. And then there's the HSA. These are for people that have high deductible healthcare plans, and they can basically have be triple tax-free. Money goes in tax-free, it grows tax-free, and as long as it's spent on qualified expenses, it comes out tax-free as well. Those are other ways that you can save for retirement in a tax-efficient way. Now we're heading into a break. I'm ready to take your calls now. I'm Justin Klein at 888-99-CHART. I have a special message for InvestTalk listeners. I want to tell you about a smart investment known as term life insurance. Here at InvestTalk, we are big fans of term life insurance for those that need to protect loved ones. Unfortunately, many people get tricked into purchasing whole or universal life when a simpler solution like term life insurance is far superior. With that said, let me focus on Fabric by Gerber Life. Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered right from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required. Fabric helps make protecting your family's financial future a little easier with a term life policy that is affordable and can be customized to your family's needs. Listen, if you've got kids, and especially if you're young and healthy, the time to lock in low rates is now. Remember, your children are depending on you. Getting Fabric is very easy. It is a 100% digital experience. There are no unnecessary medical exams. And Fabric even comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. If needed, you can cancel anytime. So build a plan that's tailored to your needs, with coverage ranging from $100,000 up to $5 million. With some plans, you can purchase $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. You'll see prices from as low as $7.86 per month, term lengths from 10 to 30 years. Apply online now or in the app, and if you need a hand, their licensed team is standing by. Fabric, F-A-B-R-I-C. Now they've partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families for over 50 years. So join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to help protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/investtalk. That's meetfabric.com/investtalk. M-E-E-T, fabric.com/investtalk. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Hi, I'm Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesack and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Imagine learning from the best without the years of struggle. On my podcast, I sit down with stars like Montel Jordan and Sarah Blakely to share the hard-earned lessons that can save you time and effort on your path to success. Ready to speed up your success story? Listen to Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson wherever you get your podcasts.
The market is constantly changing, and you've got to be ready to react. So listen live or download the free Invest Talk podcasts. The Invest Talk Anytime listener line never closes. 888-99-CHART.
Now let's go take a live call and talk with Chris in Maine, and he wants to talk about how to set up a college fund since he's a recent father. Congratulations.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Justin. I really appreciate that. My wife and I have been kind of looking at some options as far as, you know, what to get going for a college fund. And later in the year when we meet with our CPA, we're going to, get their advice. But I figured I'd start out and get your opinion on if you have what you think the best direction is to go.
Well, you know, a 529 plan is the best way to go. You can set up one in any state, and, you know, it's really about what makes sense for you from a tax perspective, where you're filing. I'm assuming you're filing in Maine. I don't know off the top of my head what the tax benefits would be if you stay in your state, because every state has its own incentives or lack of incentives to put the 529 plan locally or not. Some give you a write-off on state taxes, others don't, but typically it has to be in a plan that's set up by your local state. So that's something hopefully your CPA can answer to see if you qualify. And what, you know, local tax breaks there might be. Beyond the tax breaks, then it comes down to, you know, what state has the best plan. And Utah is typically the best out of all of them. But there are a few good ones that are out there.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you for your opinion. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah.
All right,
if you look on Morningstar, they have two, Utah and Pennsylvania. Those are the two that get gold rated. There's a bunch, though, that do get silver rated. Alaska, Arizona, Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New York, Ohio, Virginia, and Wisconsin. So, you know, there are a lot of good ones out there for you to choose from. But first go to your CPA and see if there's any local tax breaks for doing one in Maine.
All right, great. All right. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for the call. Now, I hope you've been telling your friends about Invest Talk and the fact that it's available in video form. You get to see the charts that we bring up each and every day. And we get we have those videos posted on YouTube every single evening. So be sure to head over there and check those out. And we do get questions submitted via the comment section. And let's get to one of those questions. Now, Jim Leahy says, I'm looking at taking a position in NXRT. Do you think it's a good company? And if so, what would be a good buy point? All right, this is NXRT. This is a REIT, and it is an apartment REIT. It acquires, owns, and operates multifamily properties, mainly in the Southeast and Texas. Now, that was very good during the pandemic. Their business boomed. Their FFO, funds from operation, which is kind of like earnings per share, but for REITs, that was at 219 in 2019, went all the way to 351 in 2022. Problem is, it's getting a nice little setback as of late. Down 8% in FFO last year. Supposed to be down another 15% this year to $2.75. Now, it has rallied recently because REITs in general have rallied. But I think it's gone a little bit far too fast, to be honest with you. And you're already seeing rents in those areas start to fall. One of the reasons why FFO for these are starting to fall as well. So, you know, I just think there are better REITs out there that they're fairly levered. And the multifamily market, like I said, in these regions, they're just they're just not, they're just oversupplied. Okay. And so I would pass on NXRT. Now let's go to Jordan. He is right next to me in Dana Point looking at Micron.
Hey, Justin, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. You're looking at Micron. You own it or looking to buy it?
Yeah, I own it. I'm just wondering if now's a good opportunity to buy a little more since it looks like it's kind of gotten a little weakness.
Yeah, definitely is that support. It's finding some support here right around the $85, $88 range. Obviously pulled back from nearly 160 back in June. So it's a volatile name, very volatile name. You can see with that pullback. But earnings are expected to be $1.22 this year and $9.37 next year. So analysts are expecting a very solid rebound. Now, those estimates are coming down, and that's probably the biggest worry. But from a technical perspective, this is a good support area. And if they hit anywhere close to that $9.37 next year, I think it's certainly cheap at these levels. So I would give Micron a thumbs up. But if it breaks below 60, obviously that's a wide range. You know, that's an area that I would be worried that if it breaks below that worse things are ahead for Micron. But overall, a good business, and I would give it a thumbs up at this support level.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for the call. 888-99 chart, 888-992-4278. So I get through and ask your question on today's show. Now let's talk a little bit about the deficit. And we know that the deficit is ballooning. It's on track this year to top $1.9 trillion. That's more than 6% of our economic output, 6% of GDP. And we have not had a deficit that high outside of World War II, the 2008 financial crisis, and the COVID pandemic. So, you know, where's the war? Where are the major wars that we're fighting? What's the crisis that we're fighting? Where's the recession we're fighting? We're fighting none of that, really. And now we're at $28 trillion in debt. And it's expected to climb another $22 trillion by 2034. And economists and policymakers already worry that this growing pile of debt will pressure interest rates to the upside, restrain economic growth, and make it difficult for the government to prioritize important things like infrastructure, for example, dealing with another crisis in the future. And we have an election coming up in not very long, you know, about 6-7 weeks away. And neither Vice President Harris or former President Donald Trump have any plans to fix this. In fact, they're doubling down and they're going the other way. Both have promised to protect the biggest drivers of the deficit, and that's Social Security and Medicare. Both want to extend the tax cuts to some degree on 97%+ of households. Trump came out recently, promised to exempt tips from taxation and income tax on Social Security benefits, eliminate taxes on overtime pay, lower tax rates for companies that manufacture in the U.S., create new deductions for new parent expenses, are offering more than $2 trillion in tax cuts on top of the $4 trillion he put in during his first term. And guess what? Vice President Harris backed up the tip idea and says she'll do the same thing. And expanding and growing the child tax credit to $6,000 for parents of newborns. So, you know, they're kind of tripping over themselves to cut taxes and spend. Now, they both want to spend on, you know, slightly different things. But overall, it's about spending and growing the deficit even beyond what we're at now. Now, there's an easy explanation for this. No president has been rewarded for balancing the budget, putting ourselves on a good fiscal trajectory, because oftentimes that means short-term pain for the economy. You either need to cut spending, which takes money out of the system, takes dollars out of the system, takes dollars out of people's pockets, or you need to tax them more, and that does the same thing. Or you do a combination of both. And that hurts nominal economic growth. Now, no matter who wins, they're going to come up against the federal debt limit middle of next year. And so there's going to be a big fight over tax rates, spending habits, etc. And I guarantee you, no matter who's in the White House, the other side is going to be very, very unhappy. Now, what's interesting is in the early 90s, this was a big boogeyman. And it was such a big worry that there was actually a bipartisan bill that prevented taxes from going down, and it lowered spending. In fact, federal debt in the 90s fell to one-third of GDP. Now we're at over 100%. Then you had 9/11. Bush had tax cuts in 2001, 2003. You had the Prescription Drug Act as well that increased the cost, the spending of government. Obama had a mixed record there, but he kept tax rates relatively high. So that kept the deficit kind of at bay. And then the last two administrations just exploded. In 2016, Trump said he would pay off the national debt within 8 years. Well, the opposite happened. Debt rose from less than $15 trillion to more than $21 trillion by the time he left office. And under the Biden administration, you know, there was the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan. That's with stimulus checks, aids to state and local governments, at a time when we didn't really need it. And then you had the Inflation Reduction Act, working on student loans, and obviously just kept the ball rolling. And so you have two administrations that said they care, but actions speak louder than words. And so both administrations are set to continue to spend and borrow. And what is that? That is inflationary. Okay. That is, if you're taxing people less and you're spending more as a nation, that is going to be inflationary. Bottom line. One of the reasons why we had inflation recently, right? And so if any of this is implemented to even a modest degree, inflation is actually going to reaccelerate probably in the back half of next year. And you know, I said this before, that the biggest risk out there for most people's portfolios is not a deflationary bust like 08. It's actually an inflationary spiral where they don't have enough equities in their portfolio, or they have too much duration risk in their portfolio. That's far more likely. Now, eventually, yes, the government can't borrow anymore. That certainly could be a thing. Right. And that could be a separate problem that looks very different. But that's probably still years down the line, despite a fiscal trajectory that is worrying. That was Invest Talk. We thank you for your questions, and our work continues next. So hang on.
The newest Invest Talk Wealth webinar is happening online and free in just a few weeks. The Invest Talk Wealth webinar will focus on effective strategies for managing your 401k and enhancing your retirement savings. Go to investtalk.com and sign up for our upcoming Wealth webinar, October 8th. It's free to attend, but you must pre-register. And please tell your friends.
I was wondering if I can get your opinion on ticker symbol FANG, F-A-N-G, Diamondback Energy. Do you believe now is a good time to get in? If not, what would be a good time? At what price? Thank you. Bye.
All right, looking at Diamondback Energy, and this is actually a name that we own for some clients. Earnings are down 25% last year, but back up, expected 3% this year, 3% next year, and $32 billion market cap. And its relative strength compared to the rest of the industry is very good. And it is engaged in oil and gas exploration and production in unconventional onshore and gas regions in the Permian. And The Permian is really where the growth in output is domestically. In fact, if you're looking at year over year, all other regions besides the Permian, growth in production is actually down. And so Diamondback being so tied to the Permian, they're doing very, very well. If you look at things like the return on equity, it's at 20% year over year. Or sorry, just at 20%. And they have a good balance sheet, only about $5 billion in net debt on a $32 billion market cap. That's very solid. $2 billion in free cash flow. We really like that. They pay a nice dividend that we think is sustainable based on that cash flow. And then the dividend yield is, the payout ratio, is 47%. 47%. That's the payout ratio. So that's makes their that 5% dividend very sustainable, and their balance sheet very, very strong. And so I do think this is a good time to pick up Diamondback. It's pulled back to major support around the 170 level and it's already bounced back up to 180. And I think it will probably head to new highs over the next 12 to 18 months. Thanks for the call. This is Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal each and every weekday, and this will help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Steve. I have a question about Huntington Ingalls Industries. It's a military shipbuilding company. I really like that space and I want to invest in it. This is a good time to pick that up. Let me know. Thanks.
Are you looking at Huntington Ingalls Industries? It builds and repairs U.S. Navy nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, submarines, etc. And it's in an uptrend. I will say that. Its earnings are supposed to fall 2% next year. This year, and go up 13% next year. About a 2% dividend yield. It's a slow growth name. Solid balance sheet. $10 billion market cap. But once again, you know, if you talk about our fiscal situation, how much are we really going to continue to put into these aircraft carriers, especially if we are deglobalizing, we're not patrolling the seas as intently as we were before? I think that's really the question here, is how much involvement do you think we will continue to have around the world? Now, yes, their business will continue to maintain because they'll probably maintain these carriers. Are they building new ones? Are they building new submarines, etc.? You know, I worry a bit about that long term. Now, it's not expensive. It's trading at about a mid-teens multiple. So that's fine. It's very profitable. But you have to just be cognizant of that risk that there could be an administration that comes in that says, you know what? Look at our interest being higher than what we spend on military. And so maybe there's areas that need to be cut. And especially if you are more focused on the United States, think of, you know, a Trump administration that's focused on rebuilding our industrial base. And in fact, I would argue both administrations are, right? Just in different ways. And so I could easily see spending here reversing. So I don't love it. I think it's 4 or 5 out of 10. So I would probably look elsewhere. I think there's better opportunities out there. Okay. Now, lastly, let's talk about small caps and large caps, but actually mid caps. Now, we know recently, due to the start of the Fed easing cycle, small caps have started to outperform. And so defensive names, interest rate plays, they're also starting to outperform, say, tech stocks, for example. And the rationale is twofold. The indebted companies tend to be these defensive plays, interest rate plays, and small cap plays. And so they are disproportionately benefiting from lower interest rates. And if the Fed achieves a soft landing, a lot of the smaller cap names could also take off because they will benefit from a reacceleration in the economy. Now, if you look at something like net margins, those large cap stocks do continue to spread their gap between the small cap stocks in profitability. Now, a big reason for that is that based on weighting of the S&P, those mega cap names that are very profitable just continue to get a little bit bigger and a higher percentage of the portfolio. So their profit margins continue to be much, much higher, about 9% on average, compared to the small caps at about 3%. But what about mid caps? Mid cap margins have also started to reaccelerate from about 6% earlier in the year to over 7% now. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, you're talking about billions of dollars in earnings with just a, you know, a 1.5% move in margins. Now, another reason why those small cap names tend to be less profitable is the profitable ones are being bought up by private equity. So that's something to think about as well. And another reason why there's a very wide gap between PE of small caps versus those large cap names. And so the margins for small caps, they kind of collapsed during 2020, and that's been improving, but not to the level that large caps are. But the mid caps are kind of that sweet spot. Not quite as profitable as those mega caps, but close, and trading at much more reasonable valuations. So as usual, mid caps are kind of that sweet spot where you want to be focusing your portfolio. I'm Justin Klein, completes another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. I hope you've heard that the Invest Talk podcast is also available in video form, so head over to YouTube and subscribe to our channel and register for our upcoming wealth webinar coming up on October 8th. And it'll focus on enhancing your retirement savings strategies to managing your 401k. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.